He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Hear the sound? On WMIE 91.5 FM.
When the mountains look so big,
welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church, along with my associate pastor, Darren Solana. We greet you here today on this Wednesday. Thanks for joining us. Hey, it's hump day already. We're halfway through this week. I thank you for taking 30 minutes of your Wednesday to join me here. This is WGOD Radio. We're tuning into God's frequency here now. We're going to hear some words from him today, and that is going to be in, we are in the book of Acts. We're in chapters 9 and 10. I've entitled this sermon, Peter Has the Keys. We're tying this in to everything we've seen Peter do. Why should we be surprised? This is just what the Lord told him back when he said, "Who do men say that I am?" And Peter declared, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he said, "Blessed are you, Simon, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. And I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." And he said, "I will give to you," that's Peter, "the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever he binds on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever he looses on earth will be loosed in heaven." We've seen that being fulfilled each and every week in the book of Acts. That's where we're at here. Prior to getting started on this sermon, which will wrap up tomorrow, I invite you guys to church tonight. We're in the book of Titus. We're going to wrap up Titus tonight. We're in chapter 3, 6 o'clock tonight. Island Community Church is the place. 1000 North Banana River Drive is the location. If you're tuned into the 5:30 rebroadcast, you guys have 28 minutes still to make it to church. We would love to see you here. No better thing, no greater thing you can do on a Wednesday than come into God's house, spend some time with him, studying his word. Okay, let's get into the word now. Peter has the keys. Are we rolling back there, Mr. Whiting? Are we rolling there, wife? Okay, excellent. Peter has the keys. That's where we're at here today. We're in Acts chapter 9. Let's pray before we get started, too. Lord, we thank that all wisdom and insight and inspiration comes from you. Your word is supernatural. It's living. It's active, sharp, penetrates. All I am is the preacher. Lord, I pray you do an awesome work. Do what only you can do here today. Minister 50 different things to 50 different people here today. And the same thing for the radio or those that are going to watch later on YouTube. We pray that you would take the preaching of your word and do what only you can do. Do an awesome work, exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever ask, all I could ever think. Have your way with us here today. We submit to you. Lead us, guide us. We praise you now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now we're in Acts chapter 9. That's where we left off. Been going through here verse by verse. Let me share with you something that I've discovered here as we go through Acts. And that is Peter and Jesus were tight. And there's more to their, let's use the word fellowship, because that's the best word I can think of. There's more to their fellowship than meets the eye between Jesus and Peter. Man, oh man, there's something really special. A link that these two had that no one else has ever had.
And it really dates back to one special episode that started it all, which we can read about in Matthew chapter 16. If you would please, let's turn there. Matthew chapter 16, and we're going to read in verse 13. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. I see some people follow along on their phones. I love that. I do the same on Wednesday nights when Pastor Darren's teaching. Open up all my different translations on my phone. Okay, I made the comment a minute ago. There's more to this fellowship between Jesus and Peter than what meets the eye. Now let's pick it up here. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. Now when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Well, some say John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. Others say you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ." That means Messiah. You're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God. So Jesus answered and said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah." That means son of Jonah. "For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." So here's Peter's profession of faith, his declaration that Jesus is the Son of God. This profession of faith is how the church is going to be built in the future. From one profession of faith to the next. Each one of you, you hear the gospel and you say, "That's for me. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Started with Peter. He threw it out there to see who was going to respond to that. And Peter says, "That's me. I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Who's Jesus? He's the Son of the living God. Moreover, now keep reading. These next verses have been watered down by Protestants for years in protest of Catholics, and they're elevating Peter, but don't throw the baby out with the bathwater here, like many Protestants do with this right here that we just did as well. Holy Communion. There's more to that than meets the eye. That's why Paul said you can die when you do it wrong. Certainly you can be blessed when you do it right, naturally, right? Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater when it comes to Peter. Now what Jesus is about to say to Peter, we have seen play out each and every week in our study here in the book of Acts, and it's shockingly easy to understand. Verse 19, we're in Matthew 16, 19. Look what he says. He says, "I will give to you." All right, who's he talking to? Peter. Not Kenneth Copeland, and not Paula White, and not Paul Esposito. He's talking to Peter. He's talking to Peter. "I will give to you." There they are right there. The keys. "I will give to you, Peter, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth." See, not me. Like that book, T.D. Jakes' book, "Women, Thou Art Loosed." I can't loose anything on you. I pray. I can't loose. Now this man could loose. We see it every week. You guys have been here every week. Every week we see him loosing something or binding something. Peter had a special relationship. We're seeing, this is verbatim what the Lord said to him. I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. So whatever you bind on earth, like here come the feet of the men that buried your husband. They're going to haul you out next. That was chapter 5, right? Peter's the one. He was going to be the early representative of the Lord Jesus' church. We've seen him do extraordinary things so far. Matter of fact, we've seen Matthew chapter 16 fulfilled in these early pages in the book of Acts. Peter knows people's hearts. He knows people's thoughts. He knows some people's sins. It appears that somehow this man, Simon Peter, has picked up Jesus' very own mantle, so to speak, and he's carrying on with some of the very same things that Jesus did, just like Jesus foretold Peter. Now, let's take that a little further now. Let's pick it up in our account once again with the Apostle Peter. Now, we're in chapter 9 of the book of Acts. The last time we saw Peter, him and John were being sent to the Samaritans to see if their conversion was legit. Because when in doubt, send the man with the keys there. He'll tell you, right? When in doubt, you just send Pete there. Because he's carrying Jesus' mantle. He's got the keys to the kingdom. Whatever he loosed was loose. Acts chapter 9, we're going to start in verse 32. And remember, I will give to you, Peter, I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. All right, Acts 9, verse 32. Now it came to pass, as Peter went through all the parts of the country, that he also came to the saints who dwelt in Lydda. There he found a certain man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years and he was paralyzed. Now look and see if some of these miracles seem familiar to you. Verse 34, so Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed. Then he arose immediately. So all who dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. See, whatever you loose on earth is going to be loosed in heaven, including sickness and including death as well. It's Matthew 16, 19 fulfilled. Peter spoke this man to health in Jesus' name. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Of the Lord walking up to someone and saying, Peter walking up to someone and saying, take up your bed and walk. We've heard that before, haven't we? Always remember the sole purpose of miracles, though, and miracles of healing in the New Testament. It's so that you would know Jesus Christ is Lord and is the Son of God, is the purpose of miracles. Not for you to find your wallet or your car keys. That's not a miracle. Not for you to come up with rent money is not a miracle. But that you would know Jesus is the Messiah, that's a miracle. Now, verse 36. Now, at Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha. There was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. Now, when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. So, why not bury her? She's dead. Why not bury her? Keep reading, you'll find out the reason. Since Lydda was near Joppa and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, you see, why didn't they bury her? Because Pete's at the next town over. Why bury her? Peter's right down the street. See, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you loose on earth, it's going to be loosed up here in heaven. They didn't even bury this woman when she was dead because they heard Peter was down the street. Since Lydda, this is verse 38, was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Interesting. People had the same attitude with the Lord when he walked the earth as well. An attitude that death was just an inconvenience. Because believers understood that Jesus had the power of death, and apparently these people understood that the apostle Peter had the same power over death as well. That's why they didn't bury this woman. She's dead. They don't bury her. They just sent for Peter. These people knew and understood that Peter had the keys. See, don't let death get in the way. Don't let death get in the way. Peter's down the street. It's all we need. You know, I bet you that Matthew 16 was legendary back in the day. I bet you, that's like the Magruder film from November 22nd of 1963. That famous film. Here's another famous one. What Jesus said to Peter in Matthew chapter 16. I'd bet you anything that you want. Everyone in town knew this. Psst. He gave Peter the keys. We got a dead woman here in town. We're not going to bury. We're just going to send for Peter down the street. They knew he had the power over death. Now, verse 39. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room. And all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all out. Sound familiar? Jesus did the same thing, didn't he? Remember the people wailing and crying outside the room? He just put all these people out. Now Peter's doing the same thing. So Peter put them all out, verse 40, and he knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, now Jesus, remember, said, Talitha kumi. Here he just says, Tabitha, get up. Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand, and he lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and the widows, he presented her alive. And then he says, here you go. Now go get her a little barbecue. Well, I'm guessing on that one, but I'm probably not that far off. Well, Jesus said she's hungry when he raised a 12-year-old from the dead. He said, just give her a little food. Now, Pete probably said, just give her like a little pulled pork or a little broccoli salad, Carol. Got a refrigerator full of it, if you want any. Better this refrigerator than mine. And it became known, this is verse 42, throughout all of Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. Now, the text doesn't say that everyone thought Peter was a swell guy, and we need to keep him around like some kind of fire insurance. The text says, and many believed in the Lord. Again, it's all about him. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Everything in this universe is about him. Everything. It's all about him. Every miracle is about him. Every communion is about him. Every baptism is about him. Everything is about him. This is why we're gathered together here as a church family today, because it's all about Him. Lest we forget or get too busy, it's all about Him. I'm here to remind you today that it's all about the man and the glory. Now here's the last verse in chapter 9. Then we're going to move on to chapter 10. So it was that he stayed many days in Joppa with Simon, a tanner. Now if you guys got a fairly good Bible, you'll see these cities on your maps in the back. And if you visited Israel, Joppa and Caesarea are right there on the coast. Notice too who Peter's staying with. A tanner. You know what a tanner is? Man, I thought this smelled good. I mean, a tanner is a leather worker. So what do you have inside the house of leather workers? The dead hide. Okay, we're in chapter 10, verse 1. Now there was a certain man in Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what is called the Italian regiment. All right, Cornelius is a Gentile, and as we call him, Ron, he's a paisan. Verse 2, a devout man, one who feared God with all of his household, who also gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. All right, so Cornelius is a good man. He's a godly man, raised up his family well. I'm assuming he was Italian the same as his battalion was Italians. Now, about the ninth hour of the day, that would be 3 p.m, a day start at 6 a.m. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming to him and saying, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid. And he said, what is it, Lord? So he said, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now, may I add, just like yours have as well, God's no respecter of persons. Now, perhaps an angel hasn't appeared to you from heaven to tell you that, but I'm here to tell you today that God is no respecter of persons. And what was a memorial before God then is a memorial before God now. This is Memorial Day, not last week. It is for us, but here before God, your prayers. Were you guys here last week when Pastor Darren preached this message? Prayers, your spiritual supply. Your prayers go up as a memorial before God. And number two, your alms. That is what you give. Yes, that can mean money, but some people don't have a lot of money. It doesn't have to be money. 1 Corinthians 15:58, Paul says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Your prayers and what you do in the name of Jesus also goes up as a memorial before God. God has not forgotten your work. Now, the author of Hebrews says the same thing. God is not unjust to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have shown towards his name. That's Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. In that you have ministered to the saints, and you do minister. This Greek word for alms means mercy and pity and the giving to the poor. Just like Jesus said verbatim. He said, and as much as you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. Now that is what Memorial Day looks like to him. Now here come the angel's instructions to this Italian man here, Cornelius. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. Now when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. When he explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. Boy, I just can't wait to see what happens next. How about you guys? You mind if I keep you guys here just a little bit longer? We got time, don't we? Let's see where we end up. Now, verse 9. A little early to lose my voice. See what happens when I take a week off? It's your fault. Okay, verse 9. So the next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. That would be 12 noon. Then he became very hungry and he wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and he saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. All right, now this vision serves as a catalyst or a great turning point that indeed there's been a change in covenants is the reason for this. There's been a change in covenants. So Peter's having a vision. Here comes this great sheet descending out of heaven, verse 12. On it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. So all kinds of things that were forbidden, or better yet, things that were unclean to eat in the Old Testament. Verse 13. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill, eat," or as they say in Italian, "mangia." Peter said, "No, Lord, not so, Lord. I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again a second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done three times. That's because we got such hard heads, isn't it? We're so darn stubborn sometimes. He's got to give it to us three times here. Look at the importance to understand that there's been a change in covenants. And you're not under, you were never under any Old Testament dietary laws. And you're not a Jew. You have no old covenant. You only have one covenant. You're not changing from anything. This is all you know. Look, lobster boil is all that you know. Ribs, pulled pork. You're not turning from anything. You're not Jewish. Now, these guys had a problem because you can't just all of a sudden go from Sunday to Tuesday from being an outcast to have a seat. See, they had a problem with this. Naturally, they were brought up and raised. They were going to hell in a handbasket. Now he's telling them it's okay. So rise, Peter, kill and eat. Now this was done three times. The object was taken up into heaven. Make no mistake about it. This vision is about food. We'll also see in a moment, it's not just food, but it's going to be about people as well.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.